Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Great to be with you this morning, church. It is just fantastic to be in the building and to, I wish you were here, but you can't be at the moment. But just as Andy shared there, I just want to thank Andy for his leadership through this time, and I think he's doing a great job in church. I just want to encourage you, if you can, to continue to pray for Andy and his leadership, and obviously the leadership of the elders and so forth, as we navigate quite a difficult time at the moment. And so pray this week. Just continue to pray this week. Continue to pray that things would go in a godly way, and great decisions would be made. So I just want to encourage you to do that, church. Well, let's pray, church, together before we come around the Word. Father, we just give you thanks for your Word. It is life-changing. It is powerful. And so, Lord, as I bring this, Lord, let not my words be just my own, but they're your words. And so, Father, let your Spirit just rest upon what is spoken today. And we just give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, as following on from Andy and Gray, and I just want to thank them for their last two messages. Particularly, I really enjoyed, not that I didn't enjoy yours, Andy, your message was great, but last week I really enjoyed hearing the testimonies about the burning bush experiences. And it was just a fantastic thing to see the change that had taken place in the lives of people. And so it's, you know, just a great series. And today I want to continue the series about His presence, and I'm entitling my message, Changed in His Presence. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow on the screen, but if you have your Bibles there, 2 Corinthians 3:17 to 18. And it starts at 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Emancipation from bondage, true freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. To change into another form, and to transform, to transfigure. And if we have a look at that word change, as I did a little bit of background on it and went into a Blue Letter Bible. So Blue Letter Bible is a great site to jump on if you want some more depths and understanding. It went into the Greek around the word change, and that is the word metamorpho. It comes from the Greek metamorpho, which means to change, like I said, into another form, to transform, to transfigure. One of the best examples of metamorphosis is when an insect becomes a butterfly. Pretty much a four-stage process. Now, I'm no scientist, and I don't kind of totally get the understanding and the depths in science, but I do understand this. So it goes from egg to larva to larvae, I think they say it is. Don't get my pronunciation on that. Glad you're laughing, Andy and Steph. That's very good. So just stop me if you would, if it's good. Yeah. Now, this one's going to be interesting. To pupa to an adult butterfly. The process looks amazing, and it is incredible, but I'm sure elements of it are challenging and even possibly painful. Now, as I read in the Greek, the second part of the word metamorphosis or metamorpho, as I read the Greek lexicon, the morpho part, it in the description it had this, and I just want to read it, and it's fantastic. It says, literally, until a mind and life are in complete harmony with the mind and life of Christ. And I just think that is a beautiful statement of this scripture. And for a long time, I didn't quite understand what this scripture from being changed from glory to glory is. And it sounded very, I guess, super spiritual to me. But now I have such a greater understanding of being changed from glory to glory. It is a place where we are changed. And if we have a look at the Message translation of part of that scripture, and it's on the screen for you, it says, all of us, nothing between us and God. So the veil has been taken away. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. Jamison Fawcett Brown, in his commentary, says, regoing from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another. As Moses' face caught a reflection, so as Moses, back in the book of Exodus, you can read it, I don't want to go into it today, but as it caught a reflection of God's glory from being in His presence. So believers are changed into His image by beholding Him. And to behold Him kind of means to see or to observe or to gaze upon Him. Now, as Gray spoke last week about the burning bush experience, today I want to take just a few moments chatting about being in His presence and slowly but surely, in those different ways, how that changes us. During the week, I was in the office doing a little bit of preparation, and we've hardly been in the office at all, but Nick also dropped in, and she had to pick a couple of things up or drop a couple of things off. And I asked her briefly about her journey and the times in His presence that she could remember that have changed her life. And she began to talk about, you know, some of the things, like I think even Pete Nelson mentioned Planet Shakers last week as a burning bush experience for him. But Nick mentioned a few things along the way, and she did talk about some conversations she had with different people, and, you know, she mentioned Planet Shakers as well, and probably Hillsong, I think she mentioned. But for me, as I chatted to Nick and I thought about my life, I see so much, particularly over the last 30 years, that has contributed to that change or that glory to glory experience in my life. Moments, weeks, years, you know, in conferences, in study, preparing for, you know, a message like today. In my friendships, in discussions, in my working relationships, in worship times, even in conflict. They're all different, but life-changing all the same, and all with the right attitude in His presence. I just want to quickly take a look at three or four scriptures just around what the Word says about being in His presence. And so, firstly, and they will be for you, you'll be able to see them. Firstly, Acts 3:19-20, it says, so repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins, and return to God, seek His purpose for your life, so that your sins may be wiped away, blotted out, completely erased, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence. The refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord, restoring you like cool wind on a hot day, and that He may send you to Jesus, the Christ, who has been appointed for you. Psalm 16:11 says this, and you may have heard this scripture before, you will show me the path of life. And it says, and I love this scripture, in your presence is fullness of joy. Your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He who dwells," so it's obviously in his presence, "in the even just in the shelter of the Most High," and this has been a much quoted scripture over the last 18 months, but it says, "will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty." And I love this in the Amplified, the last bit, it says, "whose power no enemy can withstand." Dwells in the shelter of the Almighty, so in his presence. And James 4:10 says, "humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you, he will lift you up, he will give you purpose." All those things. He will exalt you, he will lift you up, he will give you purpose. Our humility in his presence, and those things will come. Just amazing scriptures. So being in the presence of the Lord changes us. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Andy shared in his message, and he talked about, you know, what we allow in our home, what we allow to come through our screens and so forth in our home. But I just want everyone to just take a moment today and think about in your home, just say in your home, how life would change, how your life would change if Jesus came in bodily form and lived in your house for a month. He came and lived in your house for a month. It would change you. Just think about that. If he came and sat where you sat, if he had dinner with you, if he sat and watched TV with you, would that change what you watch? Possibly would. Now, you might be thinking, my kids might start cleaning up after themselves. Or my husband might put the toilet seat down. You might be thinking that. My wife might, no, I don't think I'm going to go there right now. But it's not what would happen to other people in that month. It's what would happen to you. What would happen? How would you change if Jesus walked with you for a month? How would you change if Jesus sat next to you as a driver in your car as you drove around? How would that change? Would you become more patient and less likely to maybe abuse someone? Not that anyone's ever done that before. How would that change you? It would have to change you. So not for 5 minutes, not for an hour, not for a day, not for a week, but a month. How would that change you? How much do you think you would change being in God's presence? I just want to have a look at a couple of, as I prepare this message, I want to have a look at a couple of people in the Bible that were changed in God's presence or in Jesus' presence. I want to have a look at Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew was sitting at a tax collector's booth, and Jesus came up and said, "I want you to come and follow me." He said that to Matthew. And a commentary says, now Jesus has come up to this guy, and the commentary says that tax collectors worked for Rome in Jesus' time, and often demanded unreasonable payment and were generally hated and considered traitors. And so you can imagine Jesus talking to this guy and how everyone, you know, the other guys around would have thought, well, how's he talking to him? Now Matthew became one of Jesus' disciples. And he sat in his presence, in his physical presence, Jesus in physical presence. And he sat in his presence for pretty much 3 years. And after that 3 years, after Jesus died, the Holy Spirit came. So following that, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Once again, the Holy Spirit is in Jesus' presence. And it changed him. And he is one of the guys that actually wrote one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Levi, he was known as in a couple of the other Gospels, but he refers to himself as Matthew. But it changed him to the point where he wrote the Gospels. Now, here's another guy, and this was a bit more momentarily that we read, but Zacchaeus. had heard about Jesus. He'd heard about him. He knew about him. Again, a tax collector, another tax collector, hated and despised by many, as Matthew as was a tax collector as well. Now, Jesus called him down from a tree and then said to Zacchaeus, I want to come and have dinner with you. So he went to his house for dinner, and Zacchaeus was changed in Jesus' presence. He went from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus. And Zacchaeus himself said that he would give half his possessions to the poor following this. As a tax collector that did dodgy things and everything, with a meeting with Jesus in his presence, he said he would give half his possessions to the poor and pay back anyone that he had cheated four times the amount that he cheated them for. That is an amazing transformation in Jesus' presence. And we see another, Peter. We've heard a lot about Peter. You know, I have over the years, from a fisherman to a disciple, with doubts, high emotions. Peter was highly emotional, to denying Christ, to a key figure in the spreading of the gospel, was changed in God's presence, in Jesus' presence. And then, once again, like Matthew, with the power of the Holy Spirit, he was changed from glory to glory, as it says in that scripture in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Over time, Matthew and Peter were changed in God's presence, not all at once, but bit by bit, in different situations, different events, and with different conversations. It is important to understand that Jesus is constantly asking us into his presence. And he gives us every opportunity to change. He gives us every opportunity to be with him and spend that time with him. As we see in Revelation 3:20 in the Amplified, it says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And in brackets it says, of the church. And it says, "and continually knock." This is the Amplified version. So it says, "I stand at the door and knock, and I continually knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and restore him, and he with me." Now, as much as God knocks, there is something about us positioning ourselves to be in his presence. So we like, God is always there and he's always knocking. He's continually knocking, it says. But there is a place where we need to position ourselves. You know, Jesus, as I relayed that just thought process before about spending a month with Jesus, if he came and knocked on the door, would you let him in? If he said, "I want to spend a month with you," would you let him in? See, to me, that is positioning ourselves. That is taking the opportunity that God gives to position ourselves in his presence. And he will change us. I can guarantee you he will change us. And so I've got a list of a few things here. And in a moment, I'm going to talk to a mate of mine through Zoom and just get a testimony of how he was or has been changed from glory to glory. I'll talk to him in a moment. But we are in God's presence when we go to church. And it changes us from glory to glory. I can't tell you how many times I've been in church and in God's presence. And some of the times I can't even remember how it's changed me. But I look now and I look over the last years and I know I've been changed. Yeah, I love the way, and I've said it before in my messages, I love the way Joyce Meyer talks about seed time and harvest. She says it like this. She says, seed, time, and then harvest. Sometimes we don't realize we've changed until we look back and see what we were like. But we are changed in God's presence. So, say when we go to church, when we take time to pray, we may not see it immediately. And I've seen people, and even myself in the past, where I've thought, I'm just not changing. I'm not seeing the change. But in time, as we continue to place ourselves, position ourselves in God's presence in different ways, He changes us from glory to glory. As we spend time in praise and worship in God's presence, we are changed from glory to glory. I think of some of the conferences I've been in and the moments where I've been in, and I have sensed a real tangible presence of God. And those moments change you. Now, you may not see it exactly as it is straight away, but they change you. When we be still, I mean, the word says, be still and know that I am God. If we take time to be still, God changes us in His presence from glory to glory. They're all decisions. They're all positioning that we make, because God is always knocking. When we read the word, and this is the moment where I just want to take a couple of moments to have a chat with my mate Dave Stewart. Are you there, Dave? You on camera? Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you.
Great. You're looking great, Dave. Looking Thanks. Fantastic. Thanks for helping out today. And just we had to wish a happy birthday for Caleb through the week, and I know you'd be really happy with me doing this, but I know it was your birthday through the week too, Dave. So don't be embarrassed, but happy birthday.
And thank you,
Dave. I just and we have pre-chatted about this, but I just wanted to ask you. And I obviously stopped on this point of reading the word. Can you just talk to me briefly just about your thoughts on reading the word and the catalyst moment that it was for you, and where that happened, and what has changed for you over the last 4 or 5 years?
It would be 4 or 5 years ago. We were at on a Wednesday, just a Wednesday morning men's group, and I don't even know what the subject was, but it must have been talking about reading God's word, and it came to my turn, and I remember saying, look, I read the Bible occasionally, probably got dust sits on the table, but when I read the word, it's just like blah, 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 blah. And those words still ring clearly in my ears. And I remember leaving that morning from the 15-minute brekkie thing, and I just said to myself, this is just stupid, And I made a decision at that point that I was going to start reading the word every day. Just one chapter with my breakfast, and that's what I started doing. I just started reading the word one chapter a day.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. And can you tell me, I chatted with you yesterday about this and on Friday. Can you tell me what changes have you seen in yourself or others around you, your wife probably has seen in you? Can you tell me some of the things or the ways that you have noticeably changed?
So this is something that's happened over the years. It's been gradual. There's no light bulb moments or anything, but you sort of look back at the way you react to things and the way you do things. And we asked Sherilyn the question yesterday, and she said, without a doubt, that I've become very, very much more tolerant and patient about most things in life. What I notice, though, for myself is a circumstance will come up and my reaction to it will be different. To the point where now it'll be, one of the things is something will come up and I'll ask the question, have we prayed about it? It's much more God-focused, and it's something that has slowly occurred over the years, or I react to something and think, man, I never would have reacted that way before. It's much more a godly reaction than it would be in the past.
Yeah, that is brilliant. That is really awesome. But it's not... It wasn't just one moment, was it? It's just you made a decision, like I've said, to position yourself with God's word, and it's just that doesn't matter what it is that specifically you've read, but that has slowly changed you.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I still read the Bible, and like a lot of times it's still blah, 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 but I've made a decision to do it every day. But there's a commentary on the Bible that I read with it, and that's what helps. I think it's just feeding the word into my life. And things will come up in a conversation. I think, geez, I read that last week, or it'll come back to me that I read it. So it's obviously going in. And I'm now starting to, I'm at a point now where I enjoy reading the Bible. A lot of it's above, beyond my comprehension over my head, but the commentary, which is very short, is really good. And it's just one chapter a day. I've just stuck with that. And 99.9% of the time, I read the Bible every day.
Yeah, that is brilliant, Dave. Well, thanks, mate, for taking the time to share. I know it was edgy getting on Zoom and everything, but thanks for helping us out this morning. And it's really given us a really good picture, you know, of this whole metamorphosis change from glory to glory. So good on you, mate. Bless you. And I'll chat to you soon.
Thanks, mate.
So there's a classic moment. Well, not a moment, but moments over time. You know, where Dave, he read the word. And in God's presence, it changed him from glory to glory. Now, day one, he may not have seen it. But 5 years down the track, he's certainly seen the difference. I spent time at conferences over the years, many conferences, and I wouldn't say I was a conference junkie, but, you know, we often took groups to Planet Shakers. And I can even remember the trips home from those conferences where we were from Adelaide and just the conversations that I had with people on those journeys home were just incredible. And I know they were changing for the people that I spoke to, but they were changing for me as well. They really did change me over the years. You know, we're in God's presence when we're accountable with others. I spoke about being accountable a few weeks ago. I remember walking for, I think, over 2 or 3 years in the mornings with Graham a few years ago. I remember those, I think we walked at about 6 in the morning and we just walked and talked. We chatted about the Word of God. And that may seem very, well, it was just a chat, but it was in God's presence. And it changed me. It changed me. And it's been steps and moments that have changed. But I had to position myself. I had to say, yeah, we're going to do that. You know, in life groups, Dave mentioned about that change for him, the catalyst was in a life group. Getting involved with life groups, it changes us. We put ourselves in God's presence. We position ourselves. Now, life groups don't always go swimmingly and we don't always agree, but it changes us. You know, the Word of God says that where two or three or more are gathered, that scripture is actually talking about conflict. But it actually changes us because it says, I am in the midst, and that changes us. You know, in our think time, you know, the word says, bring every thought into captivity. You know, just as we think and we bring thoughts into captivity, that is in God's presence. We are positioning ourselves in God's presence, and it changes us. When we discuss the Word of God with others, it changes us. You know, when we receive a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy from someone, that is in God's presence. And that could change us. When we seek a word for someone else or God gives us a word, we're in God's presence. And that could be life-changing for them, but the fact that we're seeking, it changes us into His glory. Let His presence change you each day. Let His presence change you from glory to glory. Position yourself to allow God to change you. We are changed in God's presence. And it may not be that experience, and not knocking the burning bush experience, but if we're not there and we're not taking the opportunity, I mean, it could be walking with a friend, it could be spending a bit of time in prayer, it could be encouraging someone. There are so many ways, but if we don't engage in the process, we don't allow God's presence in it to change us. I just want to read this scripture, and then I just want to bring a couple of challenges today. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 to 18. I just want to read it again. I just want you to let this sit on you today. I just want you to just read over it and almost let it wash over you. And it says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, emancipation from bondage, true freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As I was sitting there before church, I just had a real sense that, you know, whether you've joined the stream for the first time or whether you've been, you know, in church at Life Ministry Church for years, that there's some people out there who are going, but I just don't see the change, and I just keep seem to go round the mountain. Well, I just want to encourage you to keep positioning yourself. You know, when, like, I hear so many stories of people saying, I wanted to go to church and then I decided not to. You know, I'm not saying going to church is the be all and end all, but it's just so important. It is just so important, you know, of those moments that we have in church, because it changes us. You know, the word says that, you know, to continually meet with the believers. Now, it's difficult in this time, but, you know, it's not even ideal that we're meeting like this on a Sunday morning, but it's important that we do it, and it changes us. You know, as we write down notes from a message, it changes us. It challenges us. As we pray about it, it changes us. As we discuss with our family, it changes us. We just, it's almost like we can't downplay the small things that matter, the small conversations that matter. Because if we invite Jesus and say, we want you as part of our conversation, we want you in this, I want to be in worship, I want to change, God will change. He will not back off from changing us if that's what we want. But we need to position ourselves in that place. And I just have a real sense that there's some people that have kind of almost, you know, gone away from the positioning yourself in God's presence because you've said, I'm just not being changed. Well, I want you to re-engage in that process. I want you to re-engage and to take hold of the things. I want you to start reading the Word. I want you to start praying. And it may not happen immediately, but over time you will change. I love Dave's testimony about how it's changed him. Just one chapter a day. Just a few minutes, one chapter. But I can guarantee one thing, that you will be changed in His presence. But position yourself in His presence. And the other thought I had today, and it's just so important, if you're watching on Zoom and you have never accepted Christ as your personal Saviour, you might have just hopped on here today and thought, I'll do something different this morning. Well, now's the opportunity. This is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. And so, if you want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Saviour, I just want to pray with you right now, because you can do that in your lounge room. And Jesus, through the power of His Holy Spirit, will presence Himself with you, and you will be changed from glory to glory over time if you allow Him to walk with you and you walk with Him. Father, I just thank You for each and every person watching today. And Lord, for those who may not have or have not received You as your Lord and Saviour, I pray in Jesus' name that they would accept what You have given. You have so freely given us. All it is to say yes to Jesus. And so you can just repeat after me in your living room. Lord, I thank You for Your sacrifice. And today, I give my life to You. To change and do what You will And as I confess my sin to you, I am no longer under a yoke of slavery, and I no longer need to worry that I'm not one of your sons or daughters. And I want to thank you for the precious gift of eternal life that I have just received. And I thank you for these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. If you're in a living room, I just want to, you know, just give thanks for someone who has maybe for the first time in their life committed their life to Christ. And if that is you today, I just want to encourage you to jump on our LMC website and go to the Connect and connect with us and let us know that you've made that decision today, and we will be in contact with you and help you with that decision. We would just love to walk that through with you and allow God's presence to be with you every day.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you this morning, live from my home, and I hope that you have your biscuits and your juice, however that might look, ready for communion today. Now, as most of you would know, I'm married to Aaron, and for those that know Aaron's dad, Reno, know that he runs his own cleaning business. Now, there are many benefits of being married to Aaron, but I would have to say him growing up and learning all the inside tricks of the trade when it comes to cleaning has got to be up there as one of the best. And so this has meant that Aaron has got a very high standard of cleanliness, which, let's be honest, can be a bit annoying at times when I have dropped the ball and slacked off a bit when it comes to the housework. But the bonus and the positive is that it means he is very good and very capable of producing a high standard of cleanliness in our home. He is much more thorough than me. In fact, here's a little statistic for you. In our 10 years of marriage, over 10 years of marriage, I have never once cleaned the shower. True story. And I don't want to brag, but how lucky am I? And so Aaron's as good as he is at cleaning a shower, he's not perfect. And there is an area that he has dropped the ball in lately, or had dropped the ball in, and that was the window washing. So I'm not sure if anyone watching likes washing the windows, but we figured out that it had probably been about 2 years since Aaron had last washed the windows in our house. So you can imagine how dirty they would have been between storms and kids who touch and breathe and paint and throw things at the windows, and a dog who has a big, fluffy, dirty paw that bangs on our window every single time she wants to be let inside. You can imagine how dirty they would be. And it wasn't until a few weeks ago that the dirtiness really started irritating me. I just got to a point where I was so sick of looking at and looking through dirty windows. And I'd said to Aaron a couple of times, you know, do you reckon you can wash them for me? And for legitimate reasons, he hadn't got around to it, which was fine. And I said, well, that's all right, maybe I'll just wash them. And Aaron laughed at me. He said, you can't wash the windows. I said, Aaron, come on, how hard is it? You just get a bit of soapy water and like do this. Well, it's not that hard. But apparently, and this was news to me, and perhaps it's news to you as well, window washing is actually one of the more skillful jobs when it comes to cleaning. And it's not so much, I was informed of this, it's not so much the washing that is technical, but it's the squeegeeing afterwards and not getting streaks that is the tricky part. So being the great man that he is, last Saturday, Aaron washed all the windows downstairs, inside and out. And church, I've got to tell you, the windows are amazing. They are sparkling. And I'm not exaggerating, this past week, I've literally just stood all throughout the house and just looked at the windows in amazement because they just look so great. Clean windows make everything else look good. And one of my favorite things about a clean window is when that morning or maybe afternoon sun streams in, because instead of shining through dust and dirt and splashes and fingerprints, the sunshine is pure. It comes through in its fullness and its glory. And last Sunday morning, as I was sitting in my lounge room in the sunshine watching church, I was reminded that's exactly what Jesus did for me. Washed me clean from all my sin and mistakes and mess. And because I'm washed clean, the glory of the sun, the radiance of who Jesus is, shines into my life so much brighter and clearer. And although Aaron might be really good at washing windows, no one or nothing else except for Jesus can cleanse the dirt and the filth from our lives. He is the only one qualified and able to do it. In 1 John 1:7, it says this, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." What washes and cleanses us is the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood that was spilled out on that cross is what purifies us and is what washes sin completely and totally away. And in verse 9, it talks about confessing our sin. And that's a really important aspect of this passage. Up until a few weeks ago, I was okay with the dirty windows. It didn't bother me that much because I had gotten used to it. And when you get used to something, you don't always notice and see things for what they really are. But it wasn't until Aaron and I both acknowledged to each other and said out loud, "These windows are disgusting and are so filthy," that we saw the need for them to be cleaned. Because you don't bother washing something that isn't dirty or that doesn't need it. And when it comes to our lives, we need to be really careful that we don't get used to things that might need to be dealt with or that might need to be washed clean. Our sin needs to bother us. Part of God's forgiveness is that we acknowledge and confess to our Heavenly Father that we need cleansing, knowing that He is faithful and will do it every single time. So the windows in our house that were once dirty are now clean, allowing that sun to shine through in all its glory. And because they are clean, those windows also allow me to see something else. They allow me to see my reflection, because you can't see yourself very well when you're looking through a dirty window. And if we can have that photo up, I took this picture Thursday, just gone a few days ago. I was sitting at home working and just looking out the window and admiring the sun shining through. And so I took a picture, but it wasn't until I looked at the photo afterwards that I noticed myself in the photo, that I could see my reflection. See, the blood of Jesus doesn't just wash away our sin. His blood also cleanses our conscience so that we are able to see ourselves clearly, so that we are able to see ourselves in light of Jesus and therefore have the correct view of who we are, not a tainted one. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?" Our conscience is often what reminds us that we have fallen short. It's that part of our mind that can make us feel guilty. But the blood of Jesus actually allows us to be forgiven with a clean conscience. My study Bible says that Christ's blood removes sin's defilement from the very core of our beings. Perhaps you have been looking at yourself through a dirty window, through the lens of your sin and mistakes and failings, seeing yourself through a guilty conscience. This morning, church, I would encourage you to see yourself as a clean, sparkling window, purified by the blood of Jesus, and allow the light and love of Christ to shine into your being, giving you a clean conscience. As I was preparing for communion during the week, the song that kept coming over and over to my mind was "Nothing But the Blood." And so I actually asked Steph if we can sing and she can play that this morning as we spend a few moments in reflection. And you can take communion in your own time. And I just would encourage you to sit or stand or wherever you may be this morning and just allow the beautiful words and the truths in this song wash over you afresh with fresh revelation this morning. Thank you, Steph. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us. And Jesus, we thank you that your blood spilled out on that cross for us, to cleanse us, to forgive us, to wash us clean. And Father, I pray that this morning that we would get a fresh revelation of just how clean we are because of your blood. Father, I pray that we would experience the fullness and the radiance of who you are shining into our lives. And God, I pray for those that maybe have walking around with a guilty conscience. Father, I thank you that there is no condemnation in you. And And Father, I pray that we would be able to see ourselves through your eyes this morning, knowing that we have a conscience that has been washed clean as well. And so, Jesus, we glorify you, we honor you, and we thank you so much for what you have done on the cross for us. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen.